Good evening. This is your host, Deborah Herman, and you are listening to Soul Odyssey Radio. Each week, we talk about the process of the soul based on seven lessons that are intended to help you to take charge of your own growth and your awareness and your ascension, and to change your thinking about the circumstances in your life. And every so often, we do a show on animal communication, and I call it Let's Talk Animals. And that's because I'm very personally blessed to be able to translate from our animal friends. And what I've discovered is that they have many things to tell us. Some of the things they tell us are very funny, and some of the things they tell us are somewhat profound. But mostly the leap of faith to understanding that animals have a full range of feelings, emotions, and thoughts helps us to connect with nature in general and with each other. And I am very privileged this evening to have as my very, very special guest another person who probably thought she was crazy for half of her life, the internationally acclaimed pet psychic and animal confidant, Laura Stinchfield. Am I pronouncing it correctly, Laura?
Yes, you are. You are.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Because that's like the first battle. Okay, we can. We're fine now. The show's going to be great. I pronounced your name correctly. My first battle. But you live in beautiful Ojai, California. Correct?
That's correct. Yeah, it's beautiful here.
I know it's the home of the spiritual teacher. Who am I thinking of?
Krishnamurti.
Krishnamurti.
Yeah.
Why? Yes. And he settled there. He was one of the founders of Theosophy. Mm-hmm. And so I know you're living in a beautiful environment. And from what I understand, you have quite the menagerie yourself.
I do.
And you have Maya, the German Shepherd Wolf hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah,
I've got Maya. She's a German Shepherd Wolf, and she's 15. 5-year cancer survivor, and just today we picked up her wheels, which is our big exciting moment, because of her hind end. And then I've got Storm King, who's an Australian Shepherd with a tail, and I have Bean, who's a bunny, and Joey, Makia, and Serafina, which are 3 cats.
Yeah, it's funny. I had a bunny named Coco Bean.
Oh, you did?
I did. We had her for quite some time. Bunnies are awesome.
Yeah, she really is.
Yeah, we're contemplating another bunny in our life. You know how they just, you have a vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to fill it with the same kind of critter.
Oh, yeah, when you lose one.
Yeah. So that's really funny that they're the same, same name. But, so how old were you when you discovered that you had the gift of animal communication? Or were you a child, or did this come on later in life?
You know, I spoke to them ever since as long as I can remember, but I never knew it. I just thought that everyone knew when their dog had a stomach ache, or everyone knew why the horses didn't jump, and I didn't think that I was much different until I was in my early 20s. And I had people saying to me while I was studying to be a dog trainer, some of the people I was studying with would tell me that I had something special with the animals and something different. And that's when I really started to look at it. But even my mom and dad would have just told you that I loved animals a lot. But I don't know if they would have told you that I was actually communicating with them.
And yeah, then, you know, there's like almost a fine line, because a lot of people, and I'm sure some of the listeners are going to say, well, I seem to know, you know, when my cat wants something or when my dog wants something. And I think people should pay attention to those things, because it's only a few steps away from a more literal translation, where you actually can train yourself. If you're an intuitive type of person, train yourself to hear what they're saying even more clearly.
I agree. I think people are hearing their animals all the time. You know, they think that they're coming up with the idea when really it's their animal that's telling them. Yeah, very often.
I know. When I was much younger, I remember having what I thought was a dream of seeing the cat food in the cabinet, opening the door, and then I woke up and there was my cat. So whose idea do you think that was?
Yeah, right.
Right?
And yeah, so she was telling it to you and you got it while you were sleeping? So did you get up and get the cat food?
Yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah.
I was laughing because I woke up and there's,
Yeah, you know, that's what I tell people.
Things like that.
Yeah, when people go away, I tell their animals, if anything's wrong, in the middle of the night, contact your person and tell your person that something's wrong. And they're, even when they're far away, they'll get it and they'll wake up and think, oh, there's something wrong with my animal. I've got to call home. For some reason, I'm worried and I got to call home. But that's what I tell the animals to do. In the middle of the night, tell it to them. It's really important.
Well, yes, and I've told this story before. I'll make it brief, but one of the first ways I knew that I had a connection with my horse, Tonk, who does have his own fan page, for those of you who are interested, he's called Tonk the Mystic Wonder Horse on Facebook, I was away and I had a dream with him in it where the two of us were in a pen and we jumped through a fence. And when I got home, I found out that he had indeed jumped through a fence and had injured his leg. And I kept feeling, you know, I kept feeling him and having these dreams the whole time I was out of town, and realized, you know, at that point that was a psychic dream. And
right.
So you're absolutely right.
Yeah. It's amazing how they try to communicate with us, and I think a lot of people just think, like, oh, I just had a bad dream. You know, they really need to pay attention to that, about why they had it. And I think sometimes they go into dreams. I don't know if you found this, but they can't always, especially if an animal has passed and they're coming into a dream, sometimes they have to manipulate the dream we're already having. And so sometimes it doesn't completely make sense, but
well,
the general idea is there.
But if they're there, then pay attention. We have a caller. We have Ginger from South Carolina. Hello, Ginger. Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
What can we do for you? You have two animal communicators in one show. How do you like that?
Wonderful. I'm excited that I caught your show. I have a dog that we got a month ago. She's a rescue dog, and her name is Katie. And I just wondered what you felt about her and what it is I need to know about her, because I'm having trouble figuring out exactly what's going on with her.
Can you tell me what Katie looks like?
Sure. She's a little Yorkie terrier.
Yeah. I was going to say terrier. Is she a full-bred Yorkie?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Oh, no. You go right ahead. You go right ahead.
She is she's hyperactive. Does that make sense? I see her almost like dancing on her hind legs, you know, like jumping up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's a, you know, I don't know if I'm picking up on the Yorkie. I was picking up more on a wire-haired terrier. Have you ever had one like that? A short, curly-haired terrier-type dog?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to see if anybody in the listening audience, I'm getting a very, very strong vision of more of like a wire-haired terrier. And it's a very – it's really clear. So I suspect that one of the – somebody who's going to call has that dog. But getting back to your dog,
So, Ginger, I'm going to put out a little disclaimer that I usually need a picture to communicate with the animals. But what I am getting is that there's something going on with her back left knee. I don't know if she has, like, a luxated patella. Have you noticed that she holds it up or anything when she runs?
Yes, she does. It shakes, and it's not very strong. She was a puppy mill dog. So she was in a crate for 3 years.
So that knee is bothering her. And then also about when you walk her on a leash, is the leash around her neck? Because it looks like it kind of bothers her, like you're pulling her forward. Do you have to do that?
Yes, because she doesn't know how to walk on a leash. We just got her a harness. Because
The harness is going to be much better, much better. And it looks like also she'd rather walk on grass. Like it reminds me kind of golf course grass, like really, really short but soft. That might have to do with the knee.
Yeah, she's never been out of a cage until we got her. So, and walking and all of that. It's like she's learning how to be a dog.
Yeah.
Now, that's something that I wanted to add. This is Deborah, and that was absolutely awesome, Laura. No disclaimer needed, right?
Thanks.
Right? We were talking ahead of time because I knew it. I knew you'd just be awesome. But I heard Spirit basically told me, be careful with the dog about feeding her people food from the table.
Okay.
Don't do that and don't get in the habit of it because it's not going to be good for her.
Right. You're absolutely right. That was all she was fed for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. Mm. It's not well-rounded nutrition, and it's you need to be very, very – the key to this dog now – and Laura, I bet you would agree, especially because I know you have a background in training, which if you met my dogs and my children, you would know that I don't, because I haven't trained any of them. you really need to be consistent with her. That's going to be the key.
And short spurts also. You don't want to overstimulate her too much. So I take her out for like 15, 20 minutes and then bring her back in. Almost less is more right now until she starts getting used to everything.
Yes, now, we've been really careful with her, almost like overprotective parents.
That's what I was going to say, too. Boy, we're doing great, Laura, because it's like it's feeding off each other. What I wanted to say to you, Ginger, and we're going to have to go to our next caller, is you want to love away all of what you perceive as the pain that this dog has experienced. But do remember that a dog like this does have a short memory, and you need to use the same good sense and the same consistency you would use with any dog, and your love now is her reality. So don't worry about the past with her. She's going on to a wonderful, wonderful future with you and your loving home.
Yeah, I agree. You don't want to tell that story too much. Of like, people love to tell the rescue story, and you just have to be careful that you don't say it too much around our animals that have been rescued. And I've been one that has done this as well, because they have to live that again, and it really becomes a part of them, but it's not them anymore. You want them really to be looking forward and looking into the positive and not reliving those old memories.
The reason I ask about her, because all our dogs are rescue dogs, and they're all adjusting really nicely, is she has, like, shaken puppy syndrome. She's not quite all in there. Mm. And sometimes gives me this look, and I absolutely have no idea what she wants. But I just look, and I just wondered if she's trying to tell me something, and I'm just not getting it.
Let me see.
You want to take that, or you want me to take that?
It's up to you. Well, if you've got something, go, because it takes me a little while to.
She is. I won't use the politically incorrect term. She is not mentally defective, if that's what you're worried about.
Yes, because she gets really blank. She's She just kind of sits there and looks really blank, and she forgets.
I think
she's
sometimes
going. It's like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, she's just back, and she's getting a little scared. But just,
I think she wonders why everybody's staring at her.
Okay.
Let her be a dog. Enjoy her.
Thank you.
Please call again. It's kind of hard for me to manage, three voices. We're all calling in from different places. Mm-hmm. This is the blessing of modern technology, but we do have another caller if she's still with us. But Ginger, please stick with us for the rest of the show. If you have another question, feel free to try us again.
Okay. Thank you so much for your help. I appreciate it. Have a great night.
Bye, Ginger.
Thank you. Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for your patience.
Yes. I'm so happy that you have a chance to talk to me.
Awesome. What is your question?
I'm having a terrible problem with internal bleeding in my colon from ulcerative colitis. And the drugs that they gave me made the blood vessels thinner. And so now, it's like the least little thing causes me to bleed. And, I'm losing all this weight, and I just don't know what to do. And I was wondering if you could give me some insight maybe into this whole dilemma.
Where do you live?
Columbus, Ohio.
Have you gone now? I, Laura, you're welcome to interject here too. I mean, actually, we're two pet psychics. We'll put our other hat on for a minute because I know that the gift is the gift. But the reason I asked you that is I feel that it would be very important for you to get some additional testing done. Okay.
Amount of symptoms, and I'm seeing naturopathic doctors, and I'm watching my diet very carefully.
I think this is still an allopathic issue, and Ohio State is still one of the. I'm not crazy about their. I hate their hospital and I hate their cafeteria right now. I was just there recently.
Actually, I've already gone to Ohio State and seen every allopathic doctor and specialist and hematologist, and every single thing that they have prescribed for me has made me worse. And I've had every drug there is that they have. And just endless tests.
Let me tune in for a second here.
Okay.
I don't normally do people at all, so I don't know, where it's coming from. But are you drinking something, seltzery or, bubbly?
No.
No, okay.
No coffee, no alcohol, no.
Yeah, for some reason I keep seeing seltzer water. I don't know why.
Okay, I'm not a necessarily medical intuitive. I just speak to spirit. I still feel that somebody has missed something. And I know that you're sick and tired of all of the allopathic doctors at Ohio State. Maybe find a specialist somewhere else. I know you're tired of it, but somebody has missed something. And I feel like it is a type of I'm seeing some kind of hole. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm seeing some kind of, like a hole.
Yeah.
And there's another thing going on a spiritual level. Did you have someone, have you outlived someone? Like a parent or somebody who you are now older than that person when they passed?
Oh, my real father, who I really know. I wasn't raised by him. I went to see him. Last time I saw him, I was 6 years old. And then when he passed away, I went to the funeral home when I was about 12. And there he was, but he wasn't there.
Okay. Some of this, I can't address all of it on this show because the show's only an hour, and it's actually really tonight a show about pets. Perhaps you can contact me at a different time, and I'm happy to speak with you. First of all, I'm literally seeing like a hole. Second of all, I think that there is really something going on with you spiritually and emotionally where you, and I'll just say this directly, that some part of you isn't wanting to stay grounded here. Does that make any sense?
I'll have to look at that.
Okay. Think about how much you want to be here.
Well, I feel like I've learned such an incredible amount about alternative health, and I also have all of these other skills, and I feel like I have so much to offer that I don't want to leave. I want to be well and give my gifts.
Well, you're going to have then when you ask for something like that, you're usually pushed to the very edge of surrender. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
In order for you to be a healer, you're going to have to heal yourself. And what is plaguing you right now is not only a physical malady. It's a spiritual and emotional malady that needs to be healed. There is a physical hole somewhere that somebody has missed, and there's also an emotional and spiritual hole. That's what I'm seeing. So mm-hmm. It may be that you can contact, you know, you've got wonderful practitioners in your area, and I can possibly refer you, but I think you need to meditate on that and pray about it, because that's where you're going to get the answers. I don't see anything dramatic happening in the near future with you.
You don't
but
see
I can,
anything like
I can, I can understand your frustration.
Yeah, well, I'm 5'7", and I'm a 90-pound, so, you know, I just can't go on like this. Can hardly stand up.
Don't say, I can't go on.
Right? Right, I know.
All right? You see what I'm saying? Do not say
uh-huh.
that. Part of you is saying, I can't go on like this. The other part of you is saying, I want to be here. We are each given opportunities throughout our lifetime to exit, okay? You need to be
mm-hmm.
good and sure that this is not the time that you want to exit. And you need to ask for God's help for that. Now, I don't know where that's coming
All right.
from. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Yeah,
to you?
It's like I almost hesitate to even tell anybody about my problem because I just want to focus on what I want to create and not just continually reiterate what the problem is, you know.
Well, but it is a problem, and now you have to solve it.
Yeah.
Okay? Laura, did you want to add anything before we get back to our pets?
No, I'm finding you very interesting about how you're talking, and just, you know, when you say, like, meditate and pray, you know, that's something that I feel very strongly about, too. But I think sometimes when I say that to people, they don't really know exactly what that means or what kind of or how the answers would come. And so just me questioning you, like, when you meditate and pray, how do the answers come to you? I mean, I would imagine they come in all different ways, but some examples maybe.
Okay, great.
Well,
thank you so much. You're asking me, Deborah.
Yes. Deborah.
Linda, what I'm saying to you is sort of a spiritual code. What I'm saying is that we are all given many, many choices. You are a person who is evolved on the spiritual path. You know that. You
yes.
know that these answers are going to have to resonate with you. And you need, in fact, I can see you, I don't know what your tangible origin is religiously, but I can see you spending time alone in some kind of chapel, lighting a candle, and literally surrendering and asking God and the universe to help you solve this. And then before you go to bed at night, ask the question, and see what comes to you and filters through your higher self and your soul when you wake up in the morning. Because you really want to answer this for yourself. You don't trust most of the people that you've been going to. Okay? So this is an opportunity for you because you want to be a healer. This is an opportunity for you to find these answers through constant, you know, first of all, you're going to have to learn to trust somebody.
I get that too.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
I do
that's
have
why
some I'm working that I do trust. They're not allopathic, though.
But you're going to need a marriage of the two because I really do think that somebody is going to find something that has been overlooked. And that can't always be found with the alternative remedies. It may be that once it's found, it can help, you know, it can be solved with alternative remedies. Have you done, I'm still seeing more x-rays.
Oh. Yeah, well, no one has prescribed x-rays.
You haven't had any x-rays, like lower GI, upper GI, and all that stuff? Ultrasound?
No.
No.
Oh,
well,
honey.
Not for a long time.
You know,
this has been going on for years, 9 years.
Okay. Well, you need now, you need, or in the near future, you need some additional updated x-rays. They can, in real time, look into these areas, and they can find what's causing this in real time. That's what the technology is now.
Right.
Okay, so that's I'm getting that as strong as I can possibly get it, but you have to be willing to do it, and you have to be willing to open your mind and trust some of the allopathic medicine again, even though you don't.
Well, I have an appointment. Gastroenterologist in about a week.
Awesome.
So maybe I'll bring that up.
Please, and be open-minded and call upon the angels, call upon Archangel Raphael, and just ask them to please, you know, guide these medical people to find the right answers for you because you are a child of the universe, you have work to do here, and you deserve these answers. Okay?
Yes, wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
Oh,
Laura, boy, we've taken a diversion. I saw it with a question about internal bleeding, and I thought she was going to talk about a dog.
A pet, right.
Yeah, well, Linda, if you're still on, thank you for joining us. We have another caller, but we can talk for a moment. Caller, please forgive us. We're going to take a little bit of time. Now, how do you communicate with animals? Do you hear? Do you get pictures? Is it a feeling?
Yeah, I actually hear it in words, like they're talking to me in my voice. But what I'm doing is switching the feelings, the sensations in my bodies, and the visuals into words. So I get pictures and, like I said, sensations in my body. Like sometimes if their leg is hurting, my leg will start to hurt. But mostly it comes really quickly in words like they're talking.
Laura, what can we call that? Because that's how I get it too.
Oh, you do?
Yes. And I'm so grateful to have met you. We only met today. You know, and it's like we were guided because I try to explain to people, well, I translated into English. They look at me like you know how they look at us.
And maybe it's because we're writers that it can just happen so quickly.
I hear these things.
Yeah, and people will say, well, what if they don't speak English? What if they're from Mexico? Or what if they're from Italy? It's all the same. It all gets transferred into English to me.
Because it's all energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes through our filter and our brain. And when I heard my horse telling me jokes, and I was like, no, that's it. I've gone off the deep end. But so much of what he was saying resonated, and I knew it wasn't coming from me.
Yeah.
You know, because Because I'm not smart enough for some of the time.
Oh, I know. That's what I say to people. There's no way I can make this stuff up. I'm not that creative.
I know. Oh, God bless you. You have made me forget all of you in the studio audience. I mean, in the audience. We are now buddies, and we're so grateful because now we understand each other.
That's
this is
great.
How it is for some of us. It's like we're translating into English. Anyway, we have Satkatar Kaur. I hope I all these years I do know you from Ohio. Are you on the line? Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. It's a blessing to hear your voice.
Oh, let's celebrate, dance. I missed you in Ohio.
I know. I was there for 2 weeks, but it was so busy I couldn't get away.
Well, I was going to coerce you into, you know, somewhere in Bexley for dinner, lunch, something, but I knew I could pick it up and that you were really, really busy.
Well,
so,
I was there.
And a lot of things have happened, so that's why I decided to call.
I would call you
and the other gal, the animal whisperer or something like that in a way, but you're not like the guy on TV that just knows how to train them, you know?
That's right.
I wish. I don't wish, but I do wish I could train my dogs a little better, but, you know, they look at me and they say, yeah, we know.
Animals have free will.
I know that you have recently had a loss.
Yeah, I was just wondering. Yesterday was her 17th day, Ruthie, or Rudy Bagoti, or Ruth. And she was an extraordinary dog. I downloaded the moment she got passed on in my arms, and she said she pushed her legs 3 times on my thigh, and then she was gone. Her face was a face of peace. And immediately, Chick and I chanted 3 times, Om Namo Gurudev Namo, and she dipped into the water up in Canada, became elongated like a long, long seal. And she went, I was looking at the side of the lake where you would come in from the road at our cottage area across the lake with a epic-looking mountain of rock that just comes up mammothly out of the lake. And there's a lot of stuff in this lake, like it looks like Martians come sometimes and all that. But anyway, and I'm not crazy. I mean, maybe I'm crazy.
That we know of, but, you know, hey.
Yeah, I was
going to
say maybe
page.
I'm crazy, but I'm very sane. Anyway, so she comes up about where the rock was, and it was dusk, so the lake was very dark, and the sky was very light. And her head came up with water around it like a submarine does. And she molded herself in an imprint like. And I thought, well, that's it. And then next thing that got downloaded was next to her a rose-colored dolphin. And the dolphin said, I'm here to ferry you across the world ocean. And I saw a sunset. A gorgeous sunset in the ocean. I checked immediately where's the tree line. It was gone, and we were in the ocean, or she was in the ocean. And she went through the sun, and she appeared up above in the sky. Her black fur was as shiny as can be. It always was because she never really grew any. She didn't lose her baby fur. And she had this rose color from the dolphin sort of swept through her body in patterns, and it was glistening and everything. And so then I put my third eye on her third eye, my nose on her nose, and I said, may I ask you if you have anything else you'd like to tell me? And hey, listen, I've never talked to dogs like this or any animals. And she said, I saw a picture of like a China doll with a little turban. It's very faint, and it was almost like a picture, front page of a book or something, you know? And it was like, see, all people are God. And then the second thing she said is, hear, all words are the sound of light. Then she said, I want you and Daddy to come and sit on the rocks. We have a whaleback point of rocks that have crystal quartz on it. And anybody that steps their feet on this property are immediately happy. It's very much like a temple there. And a huge mountain behind us. And she says, I want you and Daddy to sit at the rock edge at this time and see your mirror reflection and realize that you're two bodies, one soul, and that Yogi Bhajan brought me to you two to not, he blessed you, but he wanted to not you. So I knotted you. Did you get that?
You mean, did I hear what you said?
Yes.
It's beautiful. And I know, and I will share something that
good.
You and your husband, now, I have known you for a long time. You were one of the first people I met when I had the Paragon Center back in Ohio. Oh, gosh, it's 20-some-odd years ago.
Yeah.
And you were at that time, American Sikh, but you were questioning which direction you wanted to go. You were both questioning whether you wanted to get married, right?
Yeah, right.
I remember.
Oh, I was.
And
yeah,
so
and
it doesn't surprise. How old was the dog?
15. And she was not sick. All of a sudden, 3-4 days right before this happened, her shoulder, her front shoulder, left shoulder, just blew up, and she got a mass.
So
and
it was
of course,
time.
I guess so. Yeah, because it was all over in her liver, in her everything, and stuff that they never saw.
How long were you married?
Pardon?
How long have you guys been married now?
Yeah, you were at the wedding 22 years ago.
I know, it's an amazing wedding. Laura,
yeah,
what do you think of that imagery?
I'm glad.
That's a beautiful story. Beautiful story.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, I just couldn't believe it that I could hear her. And I was so fast that I don't know what, if it was my voice or if it was her voice or some voice.
It was her voice.
I miss you guys because I just got done solar gazing and I had to walk my other dog who's real slow. How's the other dog doing? Can you guys talk to him? His name's Skippy.
What does Skippy look like?
He's a blonde lab. He looks like the color of Skippy peanut butter. He's about 14 years old, we think.
He says, what was your dog's name, the one that passed?
Ruthie.
He says that he sees Ruthie all the time and that she runs around you in circles. And that she's in the house a lot.
Oh, wow. That's nice to know. Wow.
And he's saying something about wanting dessert, too.
Do you dessert?
Yeah, or like some type of biscuit or something after dinner. It kind of looks like a late-night snack.
Okay, he hasn't even had his dinner yet.
Oh.
And see, I put the dogs on all raw food.
Oh, good.
Raw meat, raw broccoli, oatmeal, anything, quinoa, anything like that. And so she didn't get that since this morning, so I was just going to give her kibble. And the kibble is kind of like the, what you'd say, the bone or the
yeah, dessert. He's saying he wants something crunchy.
Well, thank you. What's your name?
Laura Stinchfield.
Yeah. Oh, so you're going to be on this program with Deborah.
Just tonight. Tonight she's having me as a guest.
Today is, or again, another time because we're having fun. And tonight we decided we would have two animal communicators. Laura is lives out in Ojai.
Ojai, California.
And,
You're
right.
In the mountains, near the ocean.
I know I had my, I have children that are children. I mean, I have some kids that are young Sikhs, and they've adopted me as, well, actually, a lot of the Sikhs call me Mata Sahib, which would be like Jesus's mother.
Oh.
So it's, they're really cool. They used to live in Ojai, and they just moved to Nevada City, and they're all starting a new ashram called Shunya, which means zero point. Shunya. Oh.
0 point, like 0 point energy?
Yeah, going to zero to become one.
Well, I am very delighted that we're having this visit and that Laura is sharing it with me. We're going to get back to the show and to some other callers.
Thank you for
do listen and call
energy.
In again.
Thanks, Deborah. I'll see you later.
Good night.
Next time I'm in Ohio, we're going to get together.
You keep your fingers crossed, and I will too, and it will happen.
It will happen.
Okay.
God bless.
God bless. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks.
We'll feed him a cookie.
They know what they like. You know, recently, Laura, I've been doing these dog on the street interviews, and what really astounds me is that dogs literally are so focused and aware of their food.
Yes, yes, and especially when they get the same food every single day. They want a variety.
Really? They really do. I mean, I had this last one. I met this woman, and the dog showed me a picture, and told me that he wanted these special treats, and it must have been like weeks before, but the woman had, from the health food store, had kind of like a yogurt treat for dogs, and the dog remembered and said, I should have those treats.
Yeah, of course. They have a long memory for things like that, for foods.
I know. It's really funny. So what has been one of your most interesting experiences with animal communication?
My most interesting experience, what just comes to my mind right when you say that is not too long ago I spoke to a spotted leopard. And the spotted leopard was captured from the wild when it was very young, and it was now used for like parties, and they use them to teach people about exotic animals, and this spotted leopard was at a show for cars at a car dealership, and so I was talking to the spotted leopard, and it was amazing how much he knew what he was missing in his life, but he also loved his trainers and loved his life as it is now. But they had this like 15 foot fence around him, but the fence was more for the people. But I was watching him, and he was staring at the children the whole time. And I said to him, thank you for not going after them. And he says, oh, you noticed. And I said, yeah, I noticed. And he said, it is really hard. It is really hard. And so he was really restraining himself, but literally in an instant he could have been over that fence and had a child in his mouth. So it really kind of touched my heart in what we do with these exotic animals, the how we have them in captivity, and how they really, like he was talking about his muscles, how his muscles don't feel developed enough. Like he's like, there's the back of my legs, just they feel like there should be more to them. So I had posted it on my blog, and I got a lot of different responses for it. Some people, it made them really angry that I that would even talk to an exotic that was in captivity. And so it was interesting.
Why not? I don't understand that. I mean, you didn't put him in captivity.
It's just, you know, people kind of give me, for all sorts of different reasons, they have problems.
Oh, I know. I know. Everybody has an opinion.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, it's interesting. You reminded me, I got a letter. I think a lot of people project feelings onto other people and also onto the animal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the animal was reassuring you, yeah, this isn't an ideal situation, but, you know, I like it. I'm getting fed, you know, 3 squares a day or whatever, and it doesn't sound like they were mistreating.
No, they weren't mistreating him at all. Not at all. And he liked his trainer, but I could tell he really felt he would have been better off in the wild, I think.
But could he have transitioned into the wild based on the circumstances he had come from?
You know, I would say no, but watching that documentary of that Christian, the lion, you know, he went back into the wild. Have you seen that? Where he was raised by he was raised by two men, and he, like, went in downtown London, and he was in the record stores, and I think he was even in Vegas, and they released him into the wild.
Well, that's wonderful. They must have done some kind of rehabilitation, because, for example, you were just explaining that this animal's legs weren't strong enough.
Yeah.
You know, if he were being chased by another predator, or if he was trying to capture meat or whatever in the natural course of things, he wouldn't have necessarily been able to survive.
Yeah, it would have been very difficult. It would have been difficult for him.
You know, because I think that we all have a path, and I'm assuming mm-hmm. that these animals do as well, where it's just a different circumstances. It's just different circumstances than what we might expect or desire. But interestingly enough, I went to a privately owned rescue for exotic animals somewhere in upstate New York, and we were marveling at how gentle the big cats looked, and the owner of the facility said, oh, that one, he'd eat you in a second.
Yeah.
He said, don't get too excited because he's rolling on his back looking cute.
It's so true. I have a wolf hybrid, and her whole life, she's just been caught in between two different worlds. You know, she's not wild, and she's not really domesticated. I mean, sometimes those instincts, you know, come in, and she has a very high consciousness because I've been talking to her since I've got her when she was a year and a half. But, you know, if a kid runs by her and screams, her wolf instinct comes in to kind of lunge towards them. And then she'll kind of come to and be like, oh, I shouldn't do that. You know, that's a child.
Yeah,
so
but an animal's an animal. And I also think that we need to respect that. It's a very good point, especially since we do the work that we do. You know, I know that there are times I talk to my horse, and some of the things that he says are very profound. But he also reminds me I am a horse,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sometimes he has to do horsey things. And if I, you know, I can't just say to him, you know, please don't step on my feet. I have to make sure that I am not in a place where he's going to accidentally step on my feet.
Right.
He's a big animal. And if I accidentally do something to spook him, he mm-hmm. could, unfortunately, and without malice, he could hurt me.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that we need to not anthropomorphize animals to the extent that we remove from them the understanding of their origin, their nature, their instincts. We want to connect with them and understand them as part of our world, but we share the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are not human. We are not animals. And so it's just as understanding each other you know, there's a light inside all of us, but there, you know, there are differences. Another example is that, you know, some very good friends of mine, an animal communicator discovered that there was a bear on their property, and they wanted to raise honey bees. Mm. I don't know if you raise them or whatever you do with honeybees.
Keep them.
They wanted to be beekeepers. And so they asked the bear, please don't touch our honey. Mm. And guess what happened?
I don't know.
It was a bear. What do you think happened?
I could get picky with that, and I could say you shouldn't say don't, because they don't understand the don't, because if you're picturing it, they would say they would get touch the honey. So to be really picky,
exactly,
I would say stay away from our honey. Or stay over there. Stay past this boundary.
Well, I don't know for sure how they approached it, because I do understand, and I will reiterate your point. Yeah. If you want an animal to not do something, you show them what you want them to do. I exactly agree with mm-hmm. that, and I've been taught that myself. You know, if you want them, because they will do exactly what they think you're asking them to do.
Yes, whatever Correct. You're picturing in your mind. And so if you say, don't jump, then you have that image of jumping in your mind. So you want to say all fours on the ground.
So whatever they said to this bear, because I know mm-hmm. that it was a very qualified animal communicator, however they approached it with the bear,
right.
all bets were off when
tricky too, because you don't want to tell the secret that the bees are there with the honey. You know?
Exactly.
Sometimes the secret is then out.
I just kept thinking of Yogi. You know, and Yogi Bear, it was like, aha, thank you for telling me where to find the honey.
Right.
You know.
They can have some honey for the bear and some honey for the humans.
Well, whatever it is, they're out of the honey business. You know, but we are really interspersing different worlds, mm. and I feel very blessed that, you know, and I'm sure you do as well, that we have a vision into this other world.
Yes,
so but why do you think? Why do you think it's so important that we do the kind of work that we do, and that we connect people with their animals?
You know,
and we're getting close to the end of the hour, so yeah. I'm sorry I waited this long.
What some people say to me is, not only do I teach them to communicate with their animal better, but I teach them to communicate with each other better. And I just think it's about clear communication. When we're all communicating clearly, everything just runs more smoothly. When we all know what our intentions are, what our visions are when we're communicating, and we learn to listen to what others are, it just is a nicer world. So I think that's part of my work, not just with the animals, but with the humans as well.
Well, I think you are delightful, I appreciate that you were so patient, and we were able to have a question that was not pet-related. I think that I hope that we were able to help our human caller, I really would love to have you back on the show anytime that you are available.
Oh, I would love it. Thank you.
And let me mention how to reach you. You have email at – you have a website. It's
thepetpsychic.com, and psychic is P-S-Y-C-H-I-C. So it's thepetpsychic.com.
And that's how to reach Laura, and you will see that she has a lovely website. You can also reach me, Deborah Herman, your mystic medium animal communicator, and we are both extraordinaire, and that's Laura as well as myself. You can reach me at soul-odyssey.com and also on Facebook under Deborah Levine Herman, and I will do my best to post contact information of some of the guests that we've been having on Soul Odyssey Radio. Again, I want to thank Laura for her sharing her wonderful gifts with us and teaching us more about how we can connect with the animals in our world. Any last words, Laura?
Oh, just thank you for having me on. And take the time out to listen to your pets and to watch your animals and to breathe.
So breathe.
So you can receive what they're saying back. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you again. This is another Soul Odyssey Radio evening, and we will talk to you again next week. Thank you for joining us.